This Sunday, we have yet another parable of our Lord Jesus from St. Matthew's Gospel. A king gives a wedding banquet for his son. But unfortunately, the first group of guests who are invited, those on the A-list, so to speak, do not respond. They make all kind of excuses for not responding, but the bottom line is they simply choose not to say yes to the king's invitation to come to his son's wedding feast. And yet the king is intent on filling up the banquet hall for his son's wedding. And so he sends out a second round of invitations, and this time all of the social niceties go out the door. Those who are invited end up roughing up the king's messengers, even killing them. Needless to say, the king is not pleased, and he deals very harshly with those who treat his messengers in that way. But because he is intent on filling up his banquet hall, he sends out yet a third round of invitations, and this time the wedding feast is finally filled with guests. Now, to the early Christian community, the meaning of this parable was crystal clear. The first people whom God invited to enter into a covenant with him were the children of Israel. God sent messengers, namely the prophets of the Old Covenant, men like Elijah and Jeremiah, Isaiah and Ezekiel, to prepare his people for the bridegroom's, that is, the Messiah's, coming. And yet many in Israel did not heed God's invitation. They rejected these prophets of God. Indeed, some of these prophets were even killed. Still, the Lord God did not give up on his people. And throughout the centuries from the time of the Babylonian captivity until the preaching of John at the River Jordan, God sent one prophet after another, but these they rejected as well. Finally, in the supreme act of humility, God sent the bridegroom himself, his own son, to bring the good news of salvation into the world. Jesus announced the mercy of God, and yet the world did not accept him. Sinful men rejected and crucified God's Son, and it was our sin that nailed him to a tree. But God raised Jesus from the dead, and he sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And it was through their preaching that God issued yet a third round of invitations. And this time, Jew and Gentile alike, even tax collectors and public sinners, repented. And all the peoples of the earth poured into God's church. And my friends, that is why we ourselves are here today. Now, if that is the fundamental meaning of the parable, our Lord adds a surprising twist to the story. When the king arrives in the banquet hall, he discovers one guest who is not appropriately dressed. The king grows quite angry at this, and he tells his servants to cast that man out into the darkness, where there is wailing and grinding of teeth. For as he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Those words should make us ponder our own response to God. The question for those of us who are here today is not where our wardrobe comes from, but rather, have we truly said yes to God's invitation through Jesus Christ? Have we accepted God's offer of salvation through him? And are we clothed with his transforming, sanctifying grace? You see, in the 4th century, St. Augustine explained what constitutes appropriate spiritual dress for the Christian to enter the eternal wedding feast. Augustine says, it isn't enough to be baptized in Jesus' name, as important and necessary as that is. And it is not enough simply to come forward and physically receive Jesus in the Eucharist, as we do at Sunday Mass. There are many people who are baptized Christians who stubbornly refuse to listen to God's word and obey his commands. And sadly, Many who receive our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist receive him just like the ill-dressed man in the gospel, without a spirit of humble repentance, in an unrecollected way, persisting in the state of serious or mortal sin. And in so doing, they profane the body and blood of the Lord. No, the appropriate dress for the feast, Augustine says, is a threefold wedding garment, a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. I'll repeat that. What constitutes appropriate spiritual dress for those who have been invited by God to enter the heavenly wedding feast is a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. If you have these three things, you have everything, because it means that you are at peace, in a state of friendship with God. And the message, indeed the good news of today's gospel, is that God himself provides the wedding garment for those whom he invites to share eternal communion with him. Through Jesus Christ, God has redeemed us, and he awaits our yes to his offer of sanctifying grace. A closing thought. Next Tuesday is October 13th, the 103rd anniversary of Our Lady's sixth and final appearance to the three children of Fatima in Portugal, about which I've spoken many times. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to the shepherd children of Fatima six times from May the 13th to October the 13th in the year 1917. In the course of those apparitions, Our Lady confided three messages of prophecies to the children, all of which have to do with God's invitation to us to accept his offer of grace. These messages remain of the utmost importance for us today. The first message was a vision of hell given to the children, testifying to the reality that if we do not humble ourselves before God, repent of our sins, and accept his offer of grace, we will spend a terrible and tormented eternity apart from him. The second message was a prophecy concerning a great lie, the lie of atheistic socialism or Marxism emanating from Russia, which was about to undergo a communist revolution. Sadly, this lie has spread and it continues to spread throughout the world today. Marxism is a belief system that sees man only as a material being without an immortal soul. In other words, man is his own creation, not God's, and this world is all there is. In 1917, Our Lady warned that if mankind did not reject this lie, a second world war would erupt more terrible than the first. And of course, that is exactly what happened when the two antichrists, Hitler and Stalin, wreaked untold death and destruction throughout the world. The third message, which is unfolding even as we speak, has to do with a great apostasy against the faith and a global persecution against those who believe in Jesus and who follow his teachings and commands. And in particular, a persecution against the Catholic Church. As I said, we see this being fulfilled today, especially in secularism's rabid rejection of the Church's teaching on the meaning of marriage, the family, human sexuality, and the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until the time of natural death. We see this in the strong opposition to the president's current nominee to the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, who grew up just down the road from us in Metairie, where her parents still live, and where her dad is a deacon at St. Catherine of Siena Church. Amy was the first of seven children in her family, and now she has seven children of her own, including two adopted children from Haiti and her own youngest son who has Down syndrome. Make no mistake, she is being attacked and opposed because of her strong Catholic faith. And tragically, many of our so-called Catholic politicians, false Catholics, who are leading the charge against her, saying that a fervent believer like her has no place in the highest court of our land. This Tuesday, as I mentioned, is October the 13th, the day that the miracle of the sun occurred at Fatima in 1917. And I want to invite you to Mass on that day at 8 a.m., followed by recitation of the Rosary in the presence of the exposed Blessed Sacrament. On that day, we will pray for judges like Amy Coney Barrett and for our country. And so that's Tuesday at 8 a.m. I'll close today with two prayers that come from Fatima. The first was a prayer taught by the angel of peace who appeared to the children. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not hope, and do not love you. And the second, a prayer taught by Mary herself. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Amen.